Hey everybody, this is Jay Speak, and I'm Rick Sanchez, and I am like a kid in a candy store. Here I am in Beijing, China. And the reason I say that is, look, I'm a journalist, right? What can be more thrilling than covering a story that has the potential to be seen by historians as an event that changed the world? There's a shift happening right now, and it's happening here, it's happening now. And it's happening because these leaders from all over the world have gathered in this place, China, where the leaders of India and Russia and China and 30 other countries are going to be coming together to essentially assert themselves. Not that they haven't in the past, but there's reasons why this is happening now. And we're in Beijing, which, by the way, this is important. There's something happening here in Beijing, which I, as an American, and I'm going to play something for you in a little bit. I'm going to sit down with a colleague, a fellow journalist, Nikki Aaron. She's a Brit, I'm an American. So of course, most of us who are American, we think of China, we think, oh, communists and gray. You know, it's funny, you come here and it's almost like just the opposite. You know, I was asking local businesses how much they pay in taxes, for example. 30%, that's the tax here. So they run their businesses, they keep their profits. Everybody's here. Adidas, Starbucks, McDonald's, Burger King, you name it. Every company in the world is here. And yet, you know, they're taxed at a better rate than we are in America. I pay 40-some percent. So, you know, these terms we use in America to label other countries, in particular this one here, it's funny how it really works. And sometimes you have to come here to actually see the truth. You talk to these people here in Beijing, they seem happy. They seem satisfied. Their economy is blowing up. They're a little confused about how to deal with it because they're kind of been new to this. They've only been at it for about 20 years. But it's a fantastic opportunity for us to be able to understand what's happening in the world. And it's being led economically in many ways by this country, by the people of this country. We're in China. And it's so fascinating. The real loss is, if I could say something that I would be perhaps critical of, it's this. This is happening, and the West either doesn't know about it, doesn't want to know about it, or maybe doesn't care. And they really should. Here's my conversation with my colleague and fellow journalists. She's a Brit, I'm an American. And we're trying to figure this out. And I think it's something that you're going to enjoy. Here's my conversation with Nikki Aaron.
So I'm joined here in China by Rick Sanchez, host of Sanchez Effect. It's
Nikki,
so lovely to have you here. Is it warm enough for you?
I can't believe we both ended up in Beijing at the same time.
What are the odds, really? I mean, where else would we be, though, Rick? I mean, so much is happening. We've got the SCO for 2 days. We've got bilateral meetings going on. We've got a massive military parade. Where else would we be, really?
Yeah, no, I think it's safe to say the eyes of the world are on China right now.
Yeah.
And I think maybe this is the most important part. Half the world is not paying attention.
Right.
The eyes of the world are on China, but half the world is not paying attention because Western countries will generally treat this as just, oh, there's some other summit taking place somewhere in Asia. No, damn it. No. This is one of the most important, most cataclysmic, most transformational meetings between heads of states, perhaps in the last 50 years. Given the conditions that have led to this, some of them by chance, like when India told the United States, go fry some fish somewhere, we're not gonna do what you tell us to do in regards to buying oil from India. It has set this up as such an important meeting, that bilateral meeting that you just mentioned to our viewers that is taking place right now between Mr. Xi and Mr. Modi. This is exceptionally important. The decisions that are going to be made in the next few days during these meetings will set the course for the global economy, perhaps for the next 50 years. Mm. And that's why the world is watching. And that's why we expect that there will be a lot of news. And that's why we're here.
Yeah. Yeah, I was reading up in some of the Western press this morning to see, like, their take on what's happening here in
China.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. And they were talking, oh, yeah, there's going to be a lot of talk about, you know, multilateral this and, you know, multipolar world this. And they were talking about it as if it was a negative thing. Why do they do that?
Because they have set the course based on both economic reasons. People make money off of hostility and aggression, as you probably know. And that's pretty simple. Those of you at home following the enthymeme here, it's pretty simple. If you keep aggression, you're like more likely to have wars, or you're more likely to have conditions where other countries are at war. And when you create those conditions, you get to sell them bombs, and you get to sell them planes, and you get to sell them the tools of war. Therefore, we need to keep that aggressive atmosphere rather than a peaceful atmosphere. And if we're going to have that sense of aggression or the environment of aggression, we need to own our media and control them so we can call them and tell Anderson Cooper at CNN or Sean Hannity at Fox News or Ed Smith over at the New York Times, hey, listen, you need to do a story about how bad India is or how bad China is or how bad Russia is. Because if you do that, then we get our people to dislike them. And then when we push for a war that involves those countries, we'll get buy-in from the American people or the British people or the German people or the French people. And therefore, we'll be able to continue that message. So when you ask me, why do they do stories that seem negative rather than positive? It's because you can't make money off of positive. You can only make money off of negative. Is that pretty clear?
Yeah, it's such a grim.
I didn't tell you anything you don't
know.
I know, but sometimes just saying it that way makes us realize what a crappy thing to do.
Yeah. Let's talk about how we got to where we are now, because as we know, Narendra Modi coming to China is a big deal. First time in 7 years.
Yes.
And we also have Kim Jong-un popping over in a few days, his first time to China in 6 years. And I'm wondering, you know, is it just fortuitous that everyone's, oh, yeah, I've got some time, I'm going to pop over? Or is it because they've been pushed together by Donald Trump? Because he's been slapping sanctions and tariffs on almost all of these guys that are coming here. Have they been pushed together or brought together thanks to Donald Trump, do you think?
Well, you know, if this were a poker game, this would be a lot like you're very close to a full house and all you're needing is an ace, right? You're already having a meeting between the most important people in the world. You're going to have the president of Iran here. You're going to have Pakistan here.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have Egypt here.
Yeah.
You're going to have Russia here. You're going to have China here. You're going to have South Africa here. You're going to have almost Brazil here.
Yeah.
You're going to have almost every major player in the global South community, which is lately becoming more like the majority South community. And you're also going to have a sprinkling of other countries who are maybe not considered part of the global South, but are smart enough to know that they should be here. Unfortunately, that's not the United States or the UK, but, you know, someday they'll understand. They may be understanding sooner than we think. So that's the poker hand, right? You got a hand, and you've got basically kings and queens, and you don't have jacks. You're basically almost close to a full hand. All you need is an ace, and then bang. Mr. Trump says to Mr. Modi, you will not buy oil from the Russians. And Mr. Modi says collectively through his government to the U.S. government, go pound sand. You don't tell us what to do. You understand? We are a big country. We've been around for like 5,000 years before you guys existed. And we make decisions for our people, not for you. And that statement sent literally jitters through the entire Western world. It was like, whoa, what just happened? Did somebody just tell the United States they maybe don't matter as much as they think they do? That's why I think this meeting that you and I are having the honor and privilege of covering will be one of the most transformational events in world history. I literally believe something has just happened that is going to shift the balance of power in our world from where it was, a hegemony controlled by the United States and the West, to a new order, if you will,
where the control of the world is shared by different powers, perhaps even with a lean toward the BRICS countries.
Yeah, a fairer world. That's what President Putin's been talking about. And he gets criticized for that. A fair world. What sounds so terrible about that? I'll tell you one thing that's been on my mind over the past few weeks. 2 weeks ago, President Trump made that announcement. He said, oh, we'll have some sort of decision or resolution between Ukraine and Russia within 2 weeks. Well, this is the 2 week mark. And President Putin is here in China. And, you know, it kind of emerges that Donald Trump doesn't hold the cards, does he? He doesn't hold the cards like he thinks he holds the cards. So what does that tell us, first of all, about President Putin's priorities? And what does that tell us about President Trump? Is this just one of his, you know, nothing burger big statements, which don't actually mean anything, but he likes to say it to get the attention?
Yeah. Judge me by what I do, not by what I say, right? Isn't that what you learn from your mom and dad and what I learned from my mom and dad, that as you grow up, you realize that the power of a man or a woman is based on what he exhibits in his actions and not necessarily his words. And fortunately, for this particular meeting, think about the players. Let's examine them for a moment. Study Mr. Modi and the way he behaves and the way he comports himself. Study Mr. Putin and the way he behaves and the way he comports himself. Putin's like boring, literally. If you watch a speech by Putin, you go to sleep, because the guy is so meticulous. He's not there to be braggadocious. Mm. He's not there to make statements. He's not a showman.
But he's consistent.
He's consistent. Mm. He's not a showman. He's not there to put on a show for everybody. The interview he did with Tucker Carlson is possibly one of the most boring interviews in the history of the world. Why? Because he
cares. Unless you're a historian.
Exactly. Because he cares about details. Talk about Mr. Xi, maybe even more boring. You know, so you have three very intelligent men who are meticulous in their form and who base their decision-making on an ideology based on diplomacy and specifics. So these guys are sitting around and they're coming up with answers that we're going to, that are going to be made, which will be determine the course of many things over the next 20 years. And they're doing it in a very carefully manifested, organized way. They're not just saying, I'm going to hold a news conference and then just blathering a bunch of stuff. And they're not making their decisions based on what their marketing guy or their public relations guy or some other person at Fox News or the BBC told them that they need to say to remain popular. They're actually making decisions based on what is necessary for the peace and economic viability of their three countries. I know that sounds simplistic, and you're probably thinking, well, duh, Sanchez, of course. But that's the difference. Mm. These three leaders who are having bilateral meetings today and tomorrow, I think Mr. Putin and Mr. Xi are having their bilateral tonight. As you mentioned, Mr. Modi and Mr. Xi have already started their bilateral. Yeah. We don't know what's going to happen, and we don't and they're not going to come out and thump their chests and say, guess what I just did?
Right.
My name is Vladimir Putin. I just sat down with Mr. Xi, and guess what we did? We solved all the world's problems because I deserve an award. No,
right.
That's not how they are. And that's so different than what we get from the West.
There's showbiz, and then there's politics.
Correct, correct. And that seems to me, maybe I'm wrong. And by the way, those three leaders, Putin and Xi and Modi, they're not perfect human beings either. There's no such thing. God didn't make any of us perfect. But the guiding principles that they use and the philosophies they use to negotiate tend to be, I think, saner and tend to lead to more clarity in a world that right now needs a sense of clarity.
There's a perspective that the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, and as well as BRICS, they're a counter to the West. Those within these blocs, they don't seem to see it that way. They say, no, we just want a fairer world. We want, you know, the global South to be included in you know, the landscape. Why are they seen as such a threat?
Because you fear what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think your general point is the underlying message in your question, as I take it, and forgive me for, you know, maybe taking it this way, is really, why are they on the outside when they're allowed to be on the inside?
Yeah.
Why isn't Trump here?
Yeah.
Why isn't Marco Rubio here? Mm-hmm. Why isn't Starmer here? You think they would have said no? They would have loved to have him here. If he would have called Xi and he would have said, this year, we're coming to the summit. Xi would have said, of course, I'll meet you at the airport myself. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll come with Putin and Modi. The three of us will be there in a rickshaw. You know? So, I mean, did I just laugh like Tucker Carlson? I apologize. I think if wouldn't it be grand? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the U.S. would have decided that it would have been smart to be here, not to criticize and not to be a counter to your word, but to actually be a part of. But it almost seems, and this goes back to your very first question about this sense of aggression, the sense of aggressiveness. And here's what this comes to. You know, there was a time, speaking of Mr. Putin's long-winded interviews, he mentioned to Mr. Carlson when he interviewed him, he said, you have to recall that there was a time when I, Vladimir Putin, asked NATO to let me join. I said, why do we have to be on the outside? Let us be on the inside. Mm-hmm. Let Russia be a part of NATO, and that way NATO and Russia don't have to be at war and at odds with each other. He actually made the offer, and NATO said, no,
yeah,
we don't want you. We'd rather be at war with you than let you be a part of us. So I ask the same question here. Here's this incredible forum taking place that you and I are covering, which will have global ramifications. And it's a group of countries and people who are becoming bigger than the G7 and who are becoming, in many ways, bigger than the EU and bigger than NATO. And I can tell you why. GDP growth, higher between the countries here. Number of standing army, higher with the countries that are here. Inflation levels, lower than the countries from the West. Rate of rising wages, higher here than the countries of the West. In fact, if you even look at it in terms of nuclear strength, Pakistan is going to be here. They got nukes. China's here. They got nukes. Russia's here. They got the most nukes in the entire world. You start adding this up from both a militaristic and from an economic standpoint, the most powerful countries on Earth are meeting here right now.
And it's growing, Rick. This is the largest SCO summit since it was formed in 2001. So just like BRICS, it's getting bigger and bigger by the year. I mean, you can't ignore that.
Yeah, and it started with, you know, a couple of Tajikistans and other Russia, stands, as they say, and Russia and China. And now it's gone way beyond that. It's not just Central Asia anymore. It's basically almost anybody in the world who wants to be a part of this. And it's grown organically, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not like they had to recruit to get the people here.
What's the possibility that we might hear some positive comments from people like Trump, Starmer, Macron about the summit and what's happening here in China?
Well, I guess to make comments, first they'd have to know there's a summit going on here.
Well, Trump's a wild card, isn't he? He could say something, you know, like, really pleasant 1 minute and then horrible the next.
No, you're absolutely right. You never know what the hell he's going to say. And, you know, he basically, as I was telling some of my our Indian colleagues yesterday when I was doing some interviews with some of the Indian networks, which are following this very closely. Mm-hmm. It's funny, the media of the world is here. And when I say the media of the world, I mean all of China, all of India, all of Russia, all of the Middle Eastern countries. They're all covering this here. And where's NBC? Where's CNN? Maybe, hold on. I think maybe they're behind that bush over there. How can you be so stupid that you don't even know? Not only, it's okay to not understand it, but to not even try to understand it seems to me to be somewhat unreasonable.
Rick, I love having you here. I'm so glad you made the flight over and you're withstanding this humidity with me.
Yeah.
We're in it together now.
Yeah. It's actually a beautiful, beautiful city. It's my first time here. I am marveling at everything about Beijing. You know what I'm really impressed by? The sense of a market economy here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are told in the West that this is a communist country and it's dark and dingy and people are all wearing gray. Everybody's happy. Everybody's walking around. The streets are filled with people. Everybody's smiling. And every store in the world, from Nike to Titleist, I love golf, there's not a single store that's here, and all of them are busy, and all of them are selling stuff. It just doesn't look very communistic to me.
Well, I'll let you get your shopping list ready, and I'll leave you for now. Rick Sanchez, an absolute
pleasure.
Thank you. Speak to you later on.